This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Independent film has been changing the shape of the American film industry. Now it's changing the Chinese film industry with the help of my guest, Peter Lohr. He's an American who started China's first independent film company. 2 years after moving to China in 1996, he produced Spicy Love Soup, which was second at the Chinese box office only to Titanic. In 1999, Variety named him one of 10 producers to watch. His latest film, Shower, will be released in the U.S. July 7th. It was made by the same director as Spicy Love Soup, and it won the International Film Critics Award at the Toronto Film Festival. We invited Peter Lohr to talk with us about working in the Chinese film industry, where he's come up with innovative ways of marketing movies within the communist distribution system and managed to make internationally acclaimed movies in spite of state censorship. Most of his films are contemporary urban stories. I asked him if he's consciously avoiding the kind of historical epics that are most typical of the Chinese films that come here.
Actually, we work with a group of young directors. When we started this company, which is the first independent film company in China, we really wanted to work with young directors because young directors really had no outlet and no way to get a film made. And a young director is going to deal with different issues than a 50 or 60-year-old director is because their life experience is different. We really wanted to deal with issues that are set in big cities in modern China because, as you just mentioned, most Chinese films either deal with the Cultural Revolution or a big sweeping historical epic. And we really thought those two genres had been worked out, and we wanted to try to do something different than the older generation of directors were doing. So we really tried to focus on the last 10 years in big cities in China.
What are the American films that are popular in China?
Titanic is very popular in China, just like everywhere else. Our first film, the film that we did in 98, was the number one Chinese release and second only to Titanic, but there's a big drop-off between number one and number two, unfortunately.
Right. You know, you hear so much about censorship in China and censorship of Chinese movies. It seems kind of crazy for an American to go to China to distribute movies. Have you had any censorship troubles?
We've had a little trouble, but not very much. Our films have had certain cuts, and I think for a producer or a director or any filmmaker, any cut is painful. But in China, basically, that's the law, and you have to work within those parameters. For us, when we started doing this, we thought it was very, very important that the Chinese audience would be able to see the films that we made. So the themes and the topics we've worked on have really tried to focus on topics that we knew we'd find a way to get through the Byzantine censorship process. You know, I think for the directors of the films we've done, and for me, if we're going to talk about China, we're going to talk about social issues, and only foreign film festival audiences and only foreign critics can get to see the film. We're not really sure who we're talking to, because if we're trying to make change and we're trying to bring up topics that people should think about, we hope that the Chinese audience gets to see those films and gets to talk about the topics we're trying to bring up.
Tell us a little bit about what the censorship system for movies is like in China now.
Basically, what happens is you have to first send in a script for approval. Unfortunately, the script almost always gets approved. A lot of things they could tell you at the beginning, they usually don't, and they wait till the end. After your script is approved, you go out and shoot the film, and when this film is finished shooting, you send a final print in for approval again. And basically one of three things can happen. Either it can go through without a scratch, or they can request changes, or the film can be stopped altogether. Those are the three options that you face. It's a nervous time when you send the film in.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the changes that censors have made you make?
In Shower, there was some nudity that was cut. And there were certain scenes that maybe they thought the angle was a little bit too wide. There was about 3 minutes cut, but mostly it was nudity.
Mm-hmm. Other films you've had to make cuts on?
The first film had about 4 minutes. The second film didn't have any cuts at all. So it's you really never know what's going to happen.
What was cut out of the first film?
In China, there's no rating system. There's no PG-13 and R. And in the first film, which was a series of five love stories spanning five different age groups, there was one story that was focused on first love among high school students. And the end of the story was cut because they thought it was a little bit too romantic for young children. Unfortunately, there's no rating system. We really hope that will develop. We're very, very willing to be the first people to make a film that people under 17 can't see if that does happen.
Because that's the only way of making a sophisticated film.
Well, not really. I think there's a lot of topics that you can address, and a lot of topics that will go over the head of a younger audience, but it will still be meaningful for an older audience. It's just that There's certain subjects you want to broach that are not really acceptable for a very young audience. So without a rating system, it does add to the limitations.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be an independent film producer in China? What's the difference between doing it in China and doing it in the States?
I think independent producers, as far as productions goes, everyone's the same all over the world. You're working on tight budgets and short time and a lot of financial constraints. The big difference in China, which we didn't know when we started doing this, is that, you know, a producer in the States or elsewhere, usually after he's finished with the film, he hands it over to a distributor who then markets and distributes the film. So as soon as the film is done shooting, the producer's work is 80 to 90% done. Whereas in China, there are no good distributors who, especially distributors who are interested in working on films by young directors with young casts, we have to distribute and market the films by ourselves, which is not something we planned to do at the beginning, but it's turned out that way. It's an awful lot of work, and it's not a very fun process. The only interesting thing about the process is that we've traveled all over the country to places we normally wouldn't go and have been able to get very, very close to the audience, which I really think has been a very good educational process for us and for the directors and all the people we work with.
So do you have to make deals with the film houses that show the movies?
In China, it's a very kind of archaic distribution system. In every city, in every province, there is a local distributor who is a government enterprise. And through law, you must work through them. So to distribute a film nationwide in China, you're signing about 40 contracts with 40 different distributors. And that entails 40 different sets of relationships. Some distributors are very strong, some are very weak. Where a distributor is weak, you may be signing a contract with him on the surface and then going directly to the theater to actually arrange how the release will go. A lot of distributors are very, very conservative. They don't spend money in marketing the film, so you have to actually go out and market it yourself. So it's a tremendous amount of work. We're getting better and better at it, but it seems like distribution in China will be something that will take about 10 to 15 years for us really to get a very strong handle on.
My guest is film producer Peter Lohr. His latest Chinese movie, Shower, opens in the U.S. July 7th. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Peter Lohr. He's an independent film producer who is from America but has been working in China for the past few years, where he's had a lot of success. His new film, the new film that he produced, Shower, is opening in the United States. No, what's it like doing business in a communist country? Can you tell that this isn't a capitalist country, it's officially a communist country?
You know, honestly, not when you're doing film, except for the fact that there are some channels, you know, state-run channels that you must go through. When you're actually dealing with them, it's very, very capitalistic. When you're talking about a contract with a distributor, or you're talking about a distribution plan with a theater, you're talking dollars and cents, just like you would anywhere else. When you're shooting a film in China, it's very much a creative endeavor. So you don't really feel any political or economic overtones of that. To be honest, working in film in China, you don't really get the feeling it's a communist country. You get the feeling it's a country where a lot of people are very, very good businessmen, and you have to be very, very careful, probably just like you would in the States or anywhere else.
Ever have to bribe people to get your film into theaters?
Never have yet. We're lucky. I think that probably does happen, but our films have been quite strong. In 1998, we had the number one film of the year. In 1999, we had the number two film of the year. And now our new film, which is Shower, which you just mentioned, is now the number one film of the year this year. So we're lucky in that the theater owners have made a lot of money from our films. And that makes them much more open and easy to deal with.
Is there a protocol for business meetings in China that's different from what you'd expect in the United States?
I think China is a huge, huge country, and when you're doing business meetings, probably the biggest difficulty that you'll face is that every province you go to is like a different culture. If you're in Beijing, or if you're in Shanghai, or if you're in Chengdu, or if you're in Guangzhou, these cities, they speak different dialects, they have different ways of doing business, they eat different food, you know, everything is very, very different. It's kind of like doing business in Europe, where you're on a plane and, you know, to a country that's only a half-hour flight away, and suddenly everything's very different. So it's very hard to give a kind of a blanket protocol for business in China, though relationships are very, very important. You know, getting to know people, having them trust you, and having them like you is a very big key to business, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of patience.
Do you speak the language?
Yes.
How'd you learn it?
Actually, when I put together this project to make this company, I was able to put together the group of investors before we actually started, because I've been working in Asia for a long time. And the deal I got was they sent me off for a year to learn Chinese. So I went to Middlebury College in Vermont for 3 months to a very intensive program. Then I went back to China for 6 months and took classes at three different universities at the same time. And for about 9 months, really did nothing except learn Chinese. The fact that I spoke Japanese fluently first probably helped a lot, especially as far as learning characters. But I was able to nail it down in about 10 to 11 months.
What are you getting out of it doing this in China?
You know, I really love making films. I produced two films in Japan, and I worked for a very big company on pretty big budget films where there was a lot of sponsorship and a lot of pressure involved. And by the time the films got made, they weren't films that I liked very much. And the interesting thing about working in China right now is we have a group of investors who have never read a script. They've never been to the set. They've never got involved in casting. They're very, very silent partners. So it's an interesting situation because I can go out and make the films I want to make, which is very hard to do anywhere in the world. We were doing an interview in Europe one time, and somebody asked me, "What do you like about making films in China?" I said, "You know, the freedom of it," which they were, you know, was very shocking yeah. to them. But the economic freedom, we are actually making the films we want to make. I can go out and work with a director, and we can pick a subject we want to make, and we can go make that, and we don't have to have a lot of creative interference from investors, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, well, that is a paradox.
Yeah.
How did you find the filmmakers that you were interested in working with when you got to China?
That was really the main reason I went to China in the first place, is I had met a lot of young people I thought were really, really talented that I really, really wanted to work with. When we first started out, probably one of the problems is that a lot of them had been approached by a lot of people before, both domestic, you know, I had Chinese people and foreign people, and people had come up to them and said, you know, "I have money, you know, let's make a movie together," and it never happened. So when I first got to China, probably the biggest problem was a lack of trust. You know, when you kind of said to people, "Hey, you know, we're going to make a company, we're going to make films, let's work together," no one really believed you. They're like, "Oh yeah, great," you know. But as we've gone forward and as we've made films, we've had, you know, it's become an opposite scenario. We get about 70 to 80 scripts a week from around the country. We're meeting a lot of great people. So we have about five or six more directors that we want to work with, and we're waiting for the right script or the right idea to come along to do that. I think the talent level in China, whether you're talking about directors or cinematographers or actors, is just absolutely fantastic.
My guest is Peter Lohr. He's an American film producer who has been living in China these past few years, working as an independent film producer and having a lot of success. And the latest film he produced, Shower, is opening in the United States. In America, a lot of the success of movies has to do with the enormous amount of advertising and promotion behind the major motion picture films. Do you promote and advertise your films in China?
We do, but it's certainly nothing like the United States. We can't afford to do TV commercials, and there's no Super Bowl commercial for a summer release.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in China, you face a big problem. The market is very, very flat, and the audience really doesn't like to watch Chinese films anymore. And there's a tremendous amount of pirate product that the audience can watch on VCD anytime they want. So if you're going to attract people to the movie theater, you've got to have something very, very special. But at the same time, because the market isn't that big, you don't have a lot of money to spend on promotion. So it becomes very, very important to attract a core audience. Word of mouth is essential. In China, there's really no negative film criticism, so a movie is never panned. So when a paper or a TV program says a movie is great, the audience doesn't really believe that because they never say a movie is bad.
Why is it that way?
I think it's a cultural thing that, you know, if a movie went out and got panned by a critic, you know, the investor or the film studio behind that movie would call the head of the paper and say, you know, "How could you do this to me?" The head of the paper would turn around and say to the critic, I think you should lighten up. It's just kind of, there hasn't been a tradition of criticism for film in China. Because the opening up a film where anyone can make a film about any subject is really quite a recent thing. You know, in the last 20 or 30 years, film was very much a propaganda tool used for making, you know, messages that the state wanted to come out. So suddenly you have films that aren't that way. And people aren't used to having the right to criticize a film. So what you've got to do with a film is you've got to attract a core public following, and basically you have to wait for word of mouth. Word of mouth is essential, because if someone's friend tells them the film is good, they will believe that. If you can get that first group of audience to go in and to get the word out, the film can take off. And we've been able to do that. I think the fact that our films are young and the fact that we've kind of got our own feeling right now, and people will come to see a film just based on the fact that the film was done by this company, really helps a lot. Our marketing is kind of very much word of mouth, a lot of press-oriented stuff, not very much paid advertising. You know, when we can, we try to find a sponsor to help with the budget for marketing. So whereby in the States, you may spend half of your total, you know, half of a film's budget on marketing, we probably spend more like a fifth of the total budget on marketing.
I read something in the Wall Street Journal about a tissue box campaign in taxis in China.
Yeah, what we did actually on this movie, and to be very honest, it was a big failure. But for 2 years, we worked on the Beijing Taxi Authority because there are a lot of bus ads in China, and they're very expensive, and we couldn't afford them. So what we thought we would do is we'd make tissue boxes to put in cabs that would have, you know, the logo of the film on them, because no one had ever done that. So it took us 2 years of talking to the taxi authority because they had all kinds of issues, you know, like, well, what if people throw the tissues out the window and there's a lot of litter? You know, what happens when the boxes get empty and there's no tissues left? And we basically worked with them for a long time. And they finally approved it, and we got the right to put tissue boxes in 20,000 taxi cabs in Beijing. You know, we had to pay for all the production of that, and we finally did it. The only problem is about 70% of them, the taxi drivers liked the way the boxes looked, so they took them home and didn't put them in the cab. So that's an example of a great idea that didn't really work that well. Though some people saw it and it was kind of a cool thing because no one had ever done it before.
What did you think the tissue boxes with the film's logo on it in taxi cabs would be a big selling point for the movie?
Well, it's not a selling point for a movie, but it's advertising that we can't normally afford to do. You know, we can't afford to do TV commercials, and we can't afford to do radio commercials, and we can't afford billboards. So we've always got to try to think of a way. And when something's never been done before, there's probably not a price structure built around it. You know, taxi cabs in Beijing are you really can't imagine how many taxis are in Beijing. And we put the boxes into 20,000 cabs. That's only half the cabs in the city of Beijing. So we thought that if we had the boxes sitting there, it might be something that drew attention to the film. You know, we try to do things differently, things that no one's ever done before. And we hope that that'll create interest. You know, the tissues and the film have nothing in common. But it was a way to do a cheap advertisement and a way to try to do something different.
It's great. It's like you're bringing promotional capitalist know-how to to China.
Well, we try. There's a lot of things you can't do, and the nature of the market, you know, there's a lot of things you can't afford, but we're always trying to figure out something to do that no one's done before. You know, the first film, we released the first pop music soundtrack in China, you know, which sounds like a kind of a very easy thing to do, but at the time, no one had ever done it before, and actually a lot of the record distributors, you know, the didn't really want to do it. They didn't think soundtrack was something that was going to work.
How'd you sell them on the idea?
Basically, we went around to a lot of record stores on our own. We put up the posters on our own, and we really promoted the soundtrack on our own because we knew that the state-run publishing house wasn't going to get excited enough to really do something about it.
My guest is Peter Lohr, the American who founded the first independent film company in China, where he's lived since 1996. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Peter Lohr is my guest. He's an independent film producer who is American but has been working in China these past few years. And the latest film he produced, Shower, is opening in the United States. What are movie theaters like in China? I guess there's probably a big range of styles.
Well, they run the whole gamut. You know, actually, in Shanghai and Beijing, there's big, modern, international standard multiplexes. In some smaller cities, the theaters are you know, horrific. You know, a lot of people in smaller areas would much rather watch a video compact disc at home on their, you know, on their TV and stereo system because the quality is going to be better than a theater. It really runs the whole gamut, just as ticket prices run the whole gamut. In a better theater, tickets are more expensive. In a worse theater, tickets are cheaper. One very interesting thing on Spicy Love Soup, which was incredibly successful, what you can ultimately do is you can do 16mm distribution in the countryside. You sell the film to these 16mm companies who actually drive around the rural areas in a big white truck with a projector, and they stop in these small towns and they rope off a field. They put up the projector and they actually show the film on the side of a white truck, which is amazing. I actually went to one of these screenings. There was at least 6,000 people watching one screening of the film, probably paying about a penny each. But the film, you know, a successful film can be seen by a tremendous, tremendous amount of people in China.
Well, what is youth culture like in China now? Is there an MTV there? Can you tell us something about like the popular music now?
Well, actually, we also run a record company in China. We run China's biggest alternative music label, and we've signed, you know, some punk bands in China. We also have a lot of alternative music coming in from Taiwan. the youth culture in China is very, very vibrant. And I think that goes for film and it goes for music and it goes for the internet as well. A lot of things are happening. You know, young people want new things. They want different things. And that market exists. That's really the people we try to speak to with our films and with our music and with everything we do. Last year, we sold 7 million records in China, you know, alternative records from, you know, alternative non-pop groups. There's a big youth culture in China, especially in the major cities.
Has rap caught on in China and has a lot of, like, hip-hop lingo caught on? Fashions?
Well, hip-hop lingo hasn't caught on because people speak, you know, in Chinese. Mm-hmm. But there's a tremendous amount of slang that's used in China. And you do find new music and you do find film and you do find a lot of things changing slang and slang is ever evolving. You know, hip-hop music, actually trance is very, very big in China. House music is very, very big in China. I think you'd really be amazed if you went to Beijing and you went to the clubs because they're very, very much like a club would be in London or New York, believe it or not. There is a very, very serious nightlife in Beijing like right now, which there wasn't 2 years ago. I've been in Beijing for 5 years and it used to be really boring and suddenly it's just really, really picked up. I've had friends that come over to Beijing and they're like, I can't believe this. It's, you know, this is amazing. Where I live is very boring compared to this. So, you know, China is a very different place, but like any place, there is going to be, you know, an ever-evolving, very powerful youth movement going on all the time, and that's certainly the case right now in China.
Is that kind of nightlife or, you know, techno music or post-punk music ever denounced by the government?
I don't think there's ever really a direct denouncement. It's just not something that's very accepted. You know, you can get the record out. It takes a lot of work, just like it does for us to get the movie out. You spend time and you understand, and you go through a censorship process, but you can get through that censorship process. It just takes a lot of patience and a lot of work. You know, there are Chinese songs with expletives that, you know, that get through censorship. You just have to be willing to do that. Now, there are some limits. I mean, the big state central-run TV station is not going to play a music video by, you know, a thrash band or a punk band. A lot of radio stations won't play the record, but with the internet evolving and a lot of other stuff going on, there are ways to get it out. There are fanzines in China. And as long as the record can get through censorship, you're going to find people to listen to it.
Do you ever feel that the government is suspicious of you as an American doing business in China?
I think we were very smart about that. And at the very beginning, though obviously the government knew what was going on because we had a legally established company, I tried to be very low profile. On the credits, I used my Chinese name. I didn't do interviews. I never went on TV. I never went on the radio. I just kind of stayed back. And the first film was very, very successful. And it also won almost all the major awards in China that year. And by the second film, I think we were much more accepted because we were making films that obviously the Chinese audience could relate to. And we were doing things within the law, and we were doing things the way that they had to be done. So I think that built up a certain amount of trust. And as the films have been more and more successful, we've been able to create a relationship with the government where I don't think there's a lot of suspicion. We have a mutually decent relationship. You know, obviously there is going to be debate and conflict sometimes about issues, but I think we get along pretty well with them, and I think they know what we want to do and where we're going with that. So there probably isn't as much suspicion as there was at the beginning. I mean, at the beginning, we have the first independent film company ever established, and there's a foreign guy running it, and that's something that's going to make people nervous. But I don't think that's really happening anymore.
You've told us a lot about how you've been getting your films produced and distributed in China. Your new film, Shower, is coming to theaters in the States. How have you gotten it distributed in the States?
Shower, to us, it's just been amazing. Actually, last year, in September, Shower went to the Toronto Film Festival. And I was a young producer with a young director with a Chinese film that no one really had heard of. And there's 360 films in Toronto. And in the first day, the first time the film was shown to an audience, the audience just went crazy over it. And the next day, the press and industry screen was full. You know, we went from being very ignored to suddenly being very hot. And we were able to sell the film to 17 countries in that one afternoon, basically based on that first audience reaction to the film. The film ended up winning the International Critics Award at Toronto. We've won actually six awards at six different festivals. And there's really been kind of a grassroots groundswell around the film. The film was ultimately sold to 56 countries. And, you know, I think, which is a record for a Chinese film, which is something we really never expected. And Sony picked the film up for the States, which is the first of our films that's ever going to be released in the States, and obviously the first ever by a big distributor like Sony. So it's been a fantastic ride and not something we expected. And you know, being here today is an incredible treat, because usually we're doing this in China. Suddenly I'm back in New York, and this is where I'm from, and I'm doing an interview in New York, which is really, really nice. So I think the film is ultimately going to be out in 50 cities around the country, which to us is just amazing.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us about your work.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Peter Lohr is an American who founded China's first independent film company. His latest film, Shower, will be released in the U.S. July 7th.